Welcome to the 24th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. On today's episode, we get some not-so-good news from Africa and talk about an awesome breed of cat. We also discuss some more favorites and continue with our Asian Animals of the Week with an animal I think is very unique for its type. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram for the links and pictures relating to today's episode. And now, let's jump into episode 24 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. To the 24th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And today we're going to talk about a whole new ba-dump-ba-dumps of animals. We're just making up words this month, I guess. It's fine.
Good, just said cream puff.
Cream puff is all... That makes it sound like we're eating them. I don't want to eat them. Actually, what are we talking about? I don't want to eat any of these. Okay. Anyway, so yes, welcome back, listeners. I hope you're having a great time. Listeners, we don't get to talk to you and see what you've been up to. Let us know.
We can do it live sometime.
Okay, you can engineer that after COVID. Anywho's.
I was talking about like Instagram or something. Like that.
Something like that. Okay, that is something we actually could do, but I'm too busy. Yeah. Anyway, all right, but yeah. So Casey, what have you been up to since the last time I saw you?
The dread. I'm back in school.
Oh, no. Is it so tragic? What classes are you taking?
I am taking evolution.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Yes. That one, though, is traditionally an online class, so there's actually no Zoom lecture for that other than my discussion section.
Okay.
So I have to be responsible, which I am not.
Terrible.
Yes. And systematics.
Ugh.
Why do you go, ugh?
This doesn't sound fun.
It deals with phylogenies and relationships among animals.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that seems really fun. Okay.
It is. Like, evolution and systematics is fun. Okay. It's cool.
Okay.
And I'm also taking ecological and evolutionary physiology.
That sounds kind of interesting, actually. Yep. That one would be kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, three classes. Woot, woot.
Yeah, I was trying to get a fourth, but the ones I originally wanted were all full.
Yeah,
and there was no wait list.
That happens.
And I looked at all the other ones available, and they didn't seem interesting at all.
Okay.
So
how much longer do you have? One more semester after this?
One more quarter.
Oh, that's right, your quarter stuff.
Yes, which is why I only got 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's still sort of a shock when you go from like your summer break of a couple months to your winter break of 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Then your spring break of a week.
That's insane. That's so dumb. Semesters, thank you. I prefer semesters.
Yeah. But like it's funny because like I hate that, but I'm an adult, so I prefer having the big old month. But like when it comes to like school children, it's like I'm one of those people that's like, we shouldn't have this giant summer break because it's making our kids stupid.
Well, it's a pain for parents.
Yeah,
but kids like it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it kills our brain cells.
I mean, yeah, it did. I never read, but I hated reading as a kid over summer, so I was just like, but
I remember I hated reading. Now I have like so many books.
I read more. Well, I haven't lately because I have no time, but I have read more as an adult, probably. Mm-hmm. I think so. Also, I remember... I forgot it.
She did not remember. She thought she remembered.
Morgan Freeman there. She, in fact, did not remember. Oh, my gosh. What was I going to say? It had to do with summer. Oh, no. Not losing your brain, but getting out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to dance in high school and everything. And you go the summer, and if you're not dancing or anything, you come back in that first couple weeks of dance. First of all, as soon as everyone goes in relevé, it's like crack, 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 crack. All the bones crack. And then it's just like doing abs and like little workouts and stuff. You're all like, oh, I'm dying. And I remember like doing hover abs because we did those in cheer too. And in cheer, dude.
Hover abs.
It's planking, but it's 3 minutes of planking.
So you 3 minutes.
Center for a minute, and then you go on your side to get your obliques for 30 seconds, back to the center.
Oh, I remember those
side
now.
Side 30, back to center 30. And so we would do them in dance and in cheer. So for a while, I was getting double.
And then you come back from summer after when I stopped doing cheer. In cheer, we used to talk through it. We'd be like, blah, 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 and just, like, doing our you know, hover abs without worrying about it. And then you get back to dance, and we're all shaking and like, ugh, how did we do this? Yeah,
I hate, and it's a love-hate relationship with that shaking feeling.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite is I recently got back into stretching again. Mm-hmm. So I'm stretching, working towards splits. My, like, quad is shaking. The front, I'm like, what's happening? I'm like, just calm down.
Yeah, some of my leg exercises, like, I can't remember what it is, but you have to lip up your middle section.
It's a bridge.
Bridge.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. And, like,
that's,
like, I do that.
My favorite exercise, by the way, because it's so good for your back.
And it's like, why am I shaking? I'm not old.
I'll get that too. If I haven't done those in a long time, I will shake on those. That's my favorite exercise because it helps my lower back because I have lower back issues because I'm an old lady. Also, I just have a sway back, so that's a problem. And it's good for so many parts of your body. Well, lower body at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not a workout podcast.
No.
But, anywho, the dread of school. Yay, rabbit trails. Everyone, let's all work out together. Yay. What are your favorite exercises? A bunny hop?
I didn't see a bunny, but I saw a guinea pig today. My TA was like, I'm going to give you a dopamine boost and show us his guinea pig on the...
The hot TA? Okay, great.
They're both attractive.
Okay, all the TAs are attractive. Okay, so anyway, dopamine, I would love that class, first of all. I'd be like, yes. Did you hear the story? I forget where it was. I probably saw it on Facebook or something, but it was like... We were in a conference call, a Zoom conference call, and somebody's dog started barking. So then my dog started barking. So then all of the dogs in all of everyone's houses started barking, and the, like, leader had to just mute it because everyone was laughing so hard.
That same TA, actually, his dog will start barking because he's talking to no one throughout the day.
Oh, gosh, Duke. And all of our pets get so upset when you talk to... You're not allowed to talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. I think I've told you I've had my cats hang up on people before. Yeah. Affy full-on hung up on people. I think... Tiger Lily's in it too. Anyway, but yes, the dread of returning to school.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you got it. You're in it. Only two quarters to go.
Yes.
You're almost done. Mm-hmm. And then you think of grad school.
Well, I'm going to take at least a gap year if I go that route.
What are you going to do for work, Casey?
I'm trying to find work. Yeah. I'm looking at a job. First off, handshake on my university website is not helpful at all because all that shows up is medical jobs.
Hmm.
And then the message I get are completely unrelated to the line of work I'm trying to get into. I got a message from Goldman Sachs once.
Oh, there you go.
I was like, why are you looking at me, a biologist?
Yeah. I'm just like, it's everything you stand for, probably. Yeah.
It's like, but I've had so many random ones. At least once it was teaching. That was the only one that ever made sense.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
We'll figure that out.
I need it.
You do.
Well, it's being in California, oddly, is the problem. Because, like, I can actually find tons of jobs I'd be interested in doing and internships. Problem is, they're all in other states.
Okay, seriously, a girl that I tapped with wanted to study marine biology. She lives in California, goes to Nebraska because they had a better program. I don't know if it's a better program or just a good program, whatever, she could get internships. But, I'm like, you're on a state with a coast. Nebraska.
That's the thing, really, is like...
But she liked it.
We don't really have any universities over here that have well-renowned marine biology programs, as far as I know.
Well, Scripps, what's that attached to? UCSD?
Yeah, that's the one I can know of, but...
Okay, so there is one, Casey. Yeah,
but not like... You think a sunny coastal state like ours would have several.
A bunch, yeah. You'd think like Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, because like I remember when I was...
two, Casey, at least.
Okay, no, like I know of they actually offered a marine bio degree, but like I remember when I was in high school and I was originally interested in getting into marine biology. Oh wait, it might have been zoology instead. No, it was marine bio. And I remember there was like only two schools that had that degree.
Yeah.
Otherwise it was just... straight up bio degrees.
Yeah, that's sad. Mm-hmm. Anywho's, well, nothing to do with school, but I was highly entertained, Casey, to find out that two of my friends, I did not know this about either of them, they didn't actually know about each other, and they've known each other for years and years and years, terrified of birds. Do you remember how many birds we have talked about on this podcast?
Several.
So many. Well, mostly in our picks, but yeah. I told them, I was like, I'm going to have to now warn you. They're terrified of birds. And one told me how one time a wild bird, not sure.
If their kid ever has a birthday party, I will come as Big Bird.
I don't know if that would do it. But, like, they don't like birds. Even little parakeets, everything.
I will talk to my friends at the zoo and bring a secretary bird.
Just really, I love secretary birds. I'm like, you can't not like this bird. They're amazing. But, yeah, so they're terrified of birds. And at my work.
I just want to know why.
Birds can be scary. I mean, they're not my favorite, to be honest. But I'm not afraid
but
of them.
But scared.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then one of them, she and her boyfriend did this thing with, like, falconry. So you get the different, you know, raptors that'll sit on your arm. Pictures of her are so funny because she's like. Also, the biggest one, she's like holding her arm.
So really?
Funny. Yeah.
What?
Some sort of. I think it was just a hawk.
That would have only been like 3 pounds.
I don't know. It might have just been the,
birds are
the,
light.
It may have just been the sheer terror. on her face. Oh my gosh, that's what I should do for in case you missed it, but it's too long. I'll do it anyway. Yeah, they are terrified of birds. It is hilarious. And at my work, every single evening, it is a scene from the birds. Crows, ravens, I don't know the difference, whatever. One of those, they come over, they just...
If it has a diamond tail, it's a raven.
Well, I'm not looking at them that closely. I'll try to look at them more
if
closely.
If they're flapping a lot, it's a crow.
It's probably a crow.
Thank you.
I think they flap a lot. Anyway, but they all invade. I'm talking hundreds upon hundreds of birds invade this whole, like, center where I work. And it's so funny. We've had patients comment on it before. And one had this son with her. And she was trying to keep him busy because he was a very, like, hyperactive kid. Mm-hmm. And she was like, count the birds. I was like, well, I'm keeping going for a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, but, yeah. So it was just so funny because they were so afraid of them. And it's hilarious. And I was telling them, like, if anything ever happened to you with, like, a bird, I would be zero help because I'd be laughing hysterically. But yeah, one of them, I guess she got a wild bird. She must have walked too close to a nest or something, and it dove bombed her. It dive bombed her, but it got stuck in her hair.
Oh my gosh.
Which would be a horrible experience.
Like, I have seen those videos of, like, I think they're magpies, and they're like dive bombing people because they're coming close. They're walking by and their nests are in the tree.
Yeah. I had a friend too back in high school, and they have one that would nest up by her front door. So, like, going to the front door, you'd have to be like, okay, go. To try to get in the house. I'm like, this is my house, bird. Anyway, it's entertaining. But, and poor Tiger Lily didn't get a look at the birds at my parents because she was, you know, trapped in the other house, the room, except for at night when she couldn't see them. But anyway.
She could have seen now.
Maybe. I don't know. God, I'm making so much noise. Or is that you?
That was me.
Gosh, we're terrible. Anyway, but yeah, so friends who are are terrified of birds. What animals are you afraid of, folks? Probably snakes and spiders. That's most people's answers.
Yes, and they have no reason for it.
Well, they do.
No.
But anyway.
They're wrong.
But moving on, what did you want to speak about, Casey?
Yes, so this was actually something I wanted to talk about last month, but Allie vetoed it.
Oh, yeah, I vetoed a lot of things. Okay. Because it's going to be bad news. Bad news, people.
Yes. So I titled it COVID-19 Impacting Conservation in Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the major sources of funding of conservation programs is tourism and is the main source of income for workers that manage the land and protect the various species.
That makes sense.
Yes. And so the pandemic has caused international trade to come to a stop.
Yeah.
So there is little income coming from these industries, despite the fact that countries in Africa are among those hit the least severely by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Hmm.
Yeah. So now many communities are struggling to put food on the table, and they're starting to see an increase in the bushmeat trade.
That makes sense,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, and just to show how important the industry is, according to World Trade and Tourism Council, wildlife tourism industry employs 24.6 million people and contributes $169 billion to the economy.
Wow.
That makes up 7.1% of the entire continent's GDP.
Wow. What was that number again?
The $169 billion to the economy, and that contributes 7.1% of the continent's GDP.
That's a lot.
Yes. Now, keep in mind, the threat of wildlife trade will soon be compounded with more human-wildlife conflicts, as the population of Africa is expected to double from 1.2 billion to 2.4 billion by 2050.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So things aren't looking too good, and...
we're the worst.
Yes, and need to try to get this under control so they can get back to work and make income.
Unfortunately, humans are in charge of that, and humans suck.
Yes.
So, you know. Eventually.
Except apparently in Australia and New Zealand.
Well. Yeah, but it doesn't help if it's a country. When it's a global issue.
Yeah.
Also, we definitely played Pandemic while I was visiting my parents. And one time we saved the world. We cured COVID, everyone.
And Pandemic?
Time we did not. Oh, it's my favorite non-traditional board game.
Mm.
So diseases spread, and they spread, and literally, when this pandemic started, I was like, I played Pandemic, and this is going to go. It's going to, like, hit New York, and then it's going to spread like crazy, and it's going to go out to the Jersey and all these places. And it did. It was like, it's just like Pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's a really fun game. But yeah, you have these little cubes, and it's like diseases, and they spread, and there's four different diseases. We usually name them, like, the zombie plague, and, like, swine flu, and... it was. I think it was SARS last time.
Oh, my gosh.
COVID and, like, yellow fever.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember rolling my eyes because, like, in my last quarter, we went over disease dynamics. And it's like, everything's being done wrong.
Oh, gosh.
Gosh. But there's another game. It's an online video game. It's called Plague Inc.
Plague Inc. Cabinet. We talked about this before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
we did.
Freaking Greenland.
Yes. Greenland.
Stupid Greenland with their smart policies in an online virtual place. Yes. I don't know if Greenland's actually that smart in real life, but...
nobody lives there.
That's why they're fine. Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is some news for ye.
Okay, well, that's sad.
I keep it real.
Well, okay. Well, you know what, Casey? What do we talk kind of a lot about on the podcast?
Animals?
We do talk a lot about animals. But mostly we talk about doggies. And doggies are great. Well, no, I mean, like, when I talk about these things.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
And you're like, no, we don't. But you know what else is great, Casey, besides dogs?
Cats.
Cats.
I knew this one.
Yay! So when I said Abby's, I'm talking about the Abyssinian.
Oh, my gosh.
Doing our first kitty breed, Owen Casey. If you thought the AKC descriptions... we're floofy, shall we say. You just wait for the cat fancier descriptions. But I had an Abyssinian. She's mostly Abyssinian. She moved in on us because that happens when you live in the boonies. Pets just show up. And she was an awesome cat. So I thought I would share a bit about Abyssinians. Also happens to be the first breed alphabetically in cats. But one of my favorite breeds. They're really, really cool. So... although, this is also from Cat Fancier, I will again share this article to Twitter because it's, like, really hard to share it to Instagram, so remember to follow us on Twitter, too. So, although the Abyssinian is one of the oldest known breeds, Casey, there continues to be speculation and controversy concerning its history.
Oh, my.
In appearance, Abyssinians resemble the paintings and sculptures of ancient Egyptian cats, which portray an elegant feline with a muscular body, beautiful arched neck, large ears, and almond-shaped eyes. Abbeys today still retain the jungle look of Felis libica, the African wildcat ancestor of all domestic cats. You've seen an Abbey, right?
I've seen an Abbey, but now I'm checking something.
I mean, they look like the sculptures, for sure. Anyway, so the source of the name is not because Ethiopia, formerly Abyssinia, is thought to be... I don't know what that was. Anyway, it's thought to be the original home of these cats, but because the first Abyssinians exhibited in shows in England, because that's all they ever care about is England, right? It's like timeline with like the discovery of gorillas by Europeans. Anyway, let me start the sentence over because that was a hot mess of things. The source of the name is not because Ethiopia, formerly Abyssinia, is thought to be the original home of these cats, but because the first Abyssinians exhibited in shows in England were reported to have been imported from that country. Meaning Ethiopia, formerly Abyssinia. And the first mention is in the Harper's Weekly, January 27, 1872, Casey, issue were the third prize in the December 1871 Crystal Palace show was taken by the Abyssinian cat captured in the late Abyssinian war. Anyway, yes, so some rich lady brought Abyssinians back is basically what happened.
Okay.
like, as always. Yes, so here we go. The description reads, Zula, the property of Mrs. Captain Barry Leonard, although she might be Barrett because she's British. So Barrett Leonard, probably.
Leonard from Big Bang Theory.
Nope, not him. But Zula was hers. She brought it back from Abyssinia at the conclusion of the war. So the British troops left Abyssinia in May 1868, and a bunch of them took kitties. And what's unique about tabbies? Nope. About Abyssinians, they have gesundheit. They have ticked coats. Is it going to happen again? Nope. No sneezing. Okay. And they, that was not really something that England had seen before, really. And there's no written records really tracing the Abyssinians to those, but they started, you know, obviously showing up as time went on with that. And then British breeders are of the opinion that breed was actually created through the crossing of various existing silver and brown tabbies with native British bunny-ticked cats.
Bunny-ticked?
That's what it says. I don't know what that's about, but it's really weird. But anyway, so recent studies by geneticists show that the most convincing origin of the Abyssinian breed is the coast of the Indian Ocean and parts of Southeast Asia. So it's an Asian cat. Casey, talking about an Asian cat, even though it looks like Egyptian. In fact, the earliest identifiable abbey is the taxidermal exhibit still residing in the Leiden Zoological Museum in Holland.
Whoop whoop!
Yay!
Netherlands!
Woohoo! This ready-ticked cat was purchased around 1834 to 1836 from a supplier of small wildcat exhibits and labeled by the museum founder as Patri Domestica India. Anyway, so they were refined in England, of course, because who's going to sit there and breed things but the British white people? White people do the shit.
And in true English fashion, it's inbred.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all purebred cats are inbred. But the thing with cats, too, is, like, most people, you say, like, oh, what kind of dog is that? You have some sort of idea, right? It's yeah. Like, oh, it's a shepherd mix. It's a boxer mix. There's a very clear difference between a Chihuahua and a Great Dane, right? Mm-hmm. With cats, unless it's, like, Siamese.
Persian,
maybe. Because then there's some that are kind of similar.
Persians, I can easily tell.
You know, because of Scottish extremely. Folds. Things yeah. like that, or a Sphinx. That's about it. Like, most cats aren't as easy to tell. You can get the color markings like a tabby or a calico, right? But it's not as easy to tell. But abbeys stand out. Anyway, and then the first ones to come to North America from England arrived in the early 1900s, but it wasn't until the late 30s that several top-quality abbeys were exported from Britain to form the foundation of today's American breeding programs. Blech. Anyway. But they're described as a very people-oriented cat, not a lap cat, but a cat that likes to be with people, a cat that wants to know what you are doing and wants to help.
But not a lap cat.
Not a lap cat.
Where's the fun in
that?
She,
well, little kind of was. There's probably no breed anywhere more loyal than the Abbey. Once you have acquired an Abbey as a companion, you will never be able to complain that no one understands you.
Okay. See, this is the stuff we should be reading while we're drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Abbeys are very good at training people to do just what they want them to do. That was a quote from the...
Crazy Cuckoo Cat Ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's in the Abyssinian Breeders International Kittens Buyer's Guide by Carolyn Oyster. There you go.
Who hurt you, Carolyn?
Who knows? So she wanted to make her whole focus on Abyssinians, apparently. Anyway, but I can speak from experience with an abbey. So Little, also known as Isis, showed up when she was like not even 6 months old. I've probably said a little bit about this before. She showed up in our garage because we had a little cat door because we previously had a garage cat a while ago. Anyway, she showed up because she was in heat and all the boy cats were pestering her. So she got into our garage and she had live in the boonies, neon pink glow-in-the-dollar collar with a bell on it. Coyotes everywhere. All the things everywhere. I'm like, just come dinner plate. Eat this cat. So, and when we got her and we finally, like, were able to, like, you know, hold her and stuff and she trusted us enough, The collar, she had been growing with this collar, so it had, like, kind of rubbed the fur. So, anyway, so obviously we got rid of the collar, and then we decided to keep her. And she was a great cat, but they're kind of crazy. They're obviously cats are nocturnal, and she's a little nuts. And one night, especially, she would sleep in my room, and one night she was... Also, I'm, like, basically blind. my eyesight is so bad. And, so at night, I have glasses usually, but I wear contacts most of the time. But I'll sleep, and I have my glasses next to me. But in the middle of the night, you don't feel like getting your glasses. You're just like, what the deuce is making noise? Stop. I want to sleep. So I'm in my room, and I hear her getting into everything. And she's definitely going to jump on all the counters, knock all the shit down. Middle of the night, I'm like, what is she doing? And I can tell she's over by the closet. So I go over to the closet, and I go to move the door to be like, because I figure she's in the closet. I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, why is the door heavy? And I look up. There's the cat balancing on the, like, inch-thick door. She had jumped to the door and just chilling on it. And I'm like, it's the middle of the night, and she won't come down. So I had to go wake up my dad to get the cat down so she'd stop being annoying. Anyway, but they're very active, and she was a very good hunter. She would kill things, like, every day. And if for any reason, she was an indoor-outdoor cat, so we would let her out during the day, like, 2 hours after dawn, and then get her in 2 hours before dusk, hopefully, if she cooperated. And she, if we didn't let her out for a couple days, if it was raining or whatever, if there was just like a bunch of coyotes and we just didn't want to let her out, she would go on a murder spree and just be a serial killer that next day. Lizards, all the things. So this website does not have, it's not as good as AKC is breaking down like grooming and all of that. They're a pretty short-haired breed. It's not too difficult. They definitely need to be challenged. They're very intelligent and will get into trouble. And they really are very, I've also seen them described as dog-like, and they are, because I used to, like, when I come home from school, because we had a good amount of property, I would just, like, make rounds around the fenced in part of our property, just, like, relax, and it's like taking a walk. And I remember one day I was making a round, and, like, on the first lap, one of our dogs joined me. On the second lap, the second dog joined. On the third lap, Little joined. I'm like, okay. And she's very dog-like. But yeah, but then, and then they do, I don't know what their normal health issues are, but she had, like, seizures, essentially. She didn't have all the time. Hmm. And we're also not sure if it was, like, hereditary or if she liked to kill lizards. And there's a lizard in California. I'm sure there's lizards everywhere that can make that happen. So many multiple trips to the emergency vet. They're nice and expensive and the cat freaking you out. But she lived to 18. Oh. So she was a good kitty. And we loved her. And oh, she's so good. And she's so funny. She also, one day we were watching her in the living room watching a nature special, and it was like about India, and there were these birds like making all kinds of noise. So she looked at the TV very interested, like, what is that I can kill? And then it like cuts to a tiger roaring. Took off out of the living room, took off entirely, and was like hiding. We're like, it's not gonna get you, you're okay. But anyway, yeah, so Abyssinian's really awesome. She just showed up, and then we didn't even know what she was until my mom's coworker's husband was a vet. And they had come over one day, and she jumped on the counters because they're cats. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'd feed them up there because the dogs would eat their food. So he was like, this is pretty much almost like a pure Abyssinian. She was definitely mixed a bit, but she's like, this is an Abyssinian. They're like rare. And she was a blue point, not a typical red point. So our cat was fancy.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Gray instead of like red.
Ah.
Or brown. She's really pretty. I will obviously post a picture of her. Anyway, so there you go. There's some info about Abyssinians. I will link the article. I will obviously post pictures. They're very slender cats. They're little athletes. So just beware of what you're getting into if you get an Abby. Yeah. Also, probably don't go actually looking for an Abby because they're going to be expensive. And,
yeah,
you know, purebred cats, not really the best choice, but whatever. But they're cool. Anyway, Abyssinians have absolutely nothing to do.
No.
With our next.
There's no smooth transition here.
There's no smooth transition at all.
Nope.
But it was my turn.
Yes.
To pick our favorites for this week. And I was like, you know what, Casey? We've been doing a lot of this, picking it by continent. And although we do need to get back to Asia, because obviously we don't know our Asian animals, we found out on the first. I was like, we need to start broadening our horizons. So I was like, you know what kind of animal we haven't done? Equidae. The family of horses. Is that even the family of horses?
It's the horse family.
Great, perfect. So happy I know that. Also, remember from last year, everybody. Oh, it's gonna sneeze again. Also, you're an it apparently now.
I'm old.
I saw their sayings for the Philip thing. It was like, did King Philip come over for good, not pasta, salad or something like that? I don't know. It was weird.
Oh.
Anywho.
That's not the one I use.
No, I know it's not. But so family, equidae, horses, and we went with wild horses.
Yes.
And we did argue about this
one. Because breeds are fake.
Not real. And also, the one we argued about that we both wanted, the domestic horse is a subspecies of, so we couldn't. So I won because it was my choice. But Casey, tell us about yours first.
Mine first?
Yes.
Okay.
You always just go first. It's just how it works.
Yes.
Okay.
So I chose the Somali wild ass.
Yeah.
Or Equus africanus somaliensis.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Take a bow.
Yep. It is a subspecies of the African wild ass.
Mm-hmm.
And fun fact, the domestic donkey is descended from the African wild ass.
That's completely believable because they look a lot alike. Yeah. But the Somali wild ass definitely looks a little more cool.
Yep. And the donkey was domesticated about 5,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, as I've heard different numbers. There is one other subspecies, the Nubian wild ass, but has not been seen since the 1950s and is probably extinct.
Oh, great.
Yep. And it is native to Somalia, Ethiopia, and Eritrea.
I can't help you with that. I also can't see the country, but okay.
And they live in stony desert habitat and arid shrubland.
That would make sense.
Yes, it does. And they are the smallest of the wild equids. They are only 2 meters long. They are about 1.2 to 1.5 meters tall.
Okay.
About 250 kilograms.
I'm so used to horses being described in hands.
I've heard it in hands. I was like, what is a hand?
I think if I recall from my back in my day when I actually did stuff with equine, I think it's like 4 inches essentially. But I don't think it's exactly 4 inches because it's like the palm of your hand.
That is so stupid.
Anyway, continue. We'll have to find the real answer. All of the actual questions.
Either way,
like,
it's
you
stupid.
Dumb girl, it's this. But it's something like, it's close to like 4 inches or something like that. Continue. Right.
So they can live up to 40 years. They have striped legs like a zebra, but the rest of their body is this pale grayish color.
Mm-hmm.
And they have large ears like other wild asses. And these help them with both hearing and also serve as a way to help them thermoregulate.
That makes sense.
Yes. And they're also well adapted to survive in the desert in that they can lose water equivalent to 30% of their body weight.
Wow.
Yes. And can drink enough water to restore its water loss in just 2 to 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
Yes. They're thirsty. And they're one of the top 100 edge... the top 100 edge mammal species. Edge stands for evolutionarily distinct and globally endangered.
Yes. Who was our other edge animal?
We did the tapir.
Okay, cool.
Probably one other one, but I can't think. I think the leatherback sea turtle was one, too.
Okay.
Ranks 52 amongst the 100 edge mammals. Has an edge score of 5.34 and an evolutionary distinctiveness score of 12.05, which means this species represents over 12 million years of unique evolutionary history.
Wow.
Yes. And it's been assessed as having medium levels of conservation attention, and they assess that like in percentages, and they give it like a 71%.
Okay.
Sounds good, but it's not that great when you dive into it.
Okay.
And they are currently listed as critically endangered by the IUCN Red List. There's less than 600 individuals left, and the population is currently in decline.
Mm.
Yeah. Major threats include drought, hunting, human disturbances, including war.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And inbreeding with domestic livestock.
Oh.
Yeah, farmers will actually leave female donkeys out for male... wild asses to come breed with to improve the quality of their stock.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a major...
I can't say I blame them.
Yeah, but that's a major problem they have is hybrids and conservation.
Okay. Interesting. Well, yes. You can see them at the, well, when COVID.
When COVID's over.
I'm so mad I finally had time to go and now everything shut down.
Yeah.
I'm like, can I please just go? Can you just allow like 20 members in like a day?
Or just two?
Yeah, just two. Just us. Please. We'll bring all of our own snacks. We just need to see the animals. Thanks. But yeah, you can see them at the Wild Animal Park.
On the tram only, though.
Or on one of the tours that you actually spend money on.
Yes.
But yes, the tram. Mine is now very difficult to see on the old monorail system. You used to go right by them, and now you got to go up to, like, the condors and then, like, look out and hope they're at the top of the hill.
You could... I've been lucky.
Yeah, usually they are, but you have to look for them. Like, mm-hmm. if you didn't know they were there, no one would see them.
Yeah.
Anyway, my favorite Echo Day that we fought over is the Przewalski horse.
And I remember. I forgot to put something.
Oh, no. And Casey's going to tell us what that was because you think,
it's the name.
Do you think that we rehearsed this or anything? We do not.
So, typical correct pronouncing is Przewalski.
Oh, Przewalski. I've never heard anyone say it that way.
Yeah. It's Russian, so it's weird.
It has to be Russian, because I'm like, nothing in there. I mean, Przewalski.
I think they do. I think some people will say Przewalski's, but if you're going to say more accurately, it's Przewalski.
I like both.
Yeah.
Honestly, Przewalski, Przewalski. That's what I'm calling them. Equus ferus Przewalski, because that's how I like it. they are only found in the Altai Mountains. Ooh, Altai? Altai, probably. Altai?
It's Mongolia, so I don't know.
I don't know either. Altai. Anyone from Mongolia, let us know. I'm going to say Altai Mountains of Mongolia.
I'll say Altai.
Great. One of us will be right then. They live in the grassy plains habitat and grassy deserts. Grassy deserts. What a thing.
Okay, so that's the thing is like when you look at biomes.
Yeah.
Things that determines it is typically precipitation and weather.
Yeah.
So there's actually also cold deserts.
Yeah.
So like...
Like Antarctica?
Yes, Antarctica is technically the world's largest desert.
Yep. they're the only wild horse species left because people suck, basically, is what that comes down to. There are two meters... And domestication.
It was... Thing is, horses were very abundant in prehistory. But then when the even-toed ungulates evolved, they just outcompeted them. So they were on their way out.
Oh, poor horses. They are 2 meters long, head and body. And their tail is 90 centimeters long. They are 1.2 to 40 what? 1.4, I think. I think there's a period that's missing. 14 meters tall. Oh, that is a tall horse.
That'd be the tallest animal to ever live.
That's crazy. 1.2 to 1.4 meters tall. I'm sure there's a taller animal. What about the brontosaurus?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, their lifespan is 20 to 25 years. They are shorter and stockier than domestic horses. Their mane is shorter, and they have coarser hair and stiff.
Yeah, it's stiff.
Their hair is stiff. Their mane is stiff, yeah.
Yeah, I meant to put mane.
Yeah, you did, but you didn't. But
they don't have those luscious locks.
As far as like, as domestic horses, a buckskin is kind of what they look like.
I don't know breeds.
No, you don't. And there's also another...
I know Clydesdale.
What's that one called? You know Clydesdale. Appaloosa, you should know that. That's distinctive.
And Ahalteki.
Okay.
It's a weird reason why I know that, but I watched John Oliver.
So weird. Okay. Anyway.
And their dictator is obsessed with Ahaltekis.
There you go. There you go. But the Przewalski horse, or Przewalski horse, they both the tail and mane shed each year. They travel large distances to find grazing pastures and have large home ranges that can be between 3 and 32 square kilometers. How sad for one little herd to be like, oh, we got 3 and like, we got 32. What up? The herds include a stallion that leads the herd and a few females. Major predators, wolves, mares, adult females, will form a protective circle with the young in the center and the stallion charges at the predators. Okay, I have to just say something that isn't really Przewalski horse, but an alert circle is something that a lot of, I guess, ungulates do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I put the babies in the middle and they all face different directions so I can see if predator's coming. I brought this up in a D&D campaign, and now one of the players always says when we have somebody who's squishy, they're like, alert circle around this person. But they always called it something wrong first, and I was like, no, it's an alert circle. But now they've learned it. They're like, alert circle around this person. I'm like, well, we've learned something from the animal kingdom. Anyway, back to the Przewalski horse. So that sign's going to charge those things. You get kicked by a horse. Not a fun time.
Nope.
They are listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List, estimated to be 178 mature individuals in the wild. Terrifying. That's horrible. And the population trend is currently increasing, which is good. I hope so, from 178.
It used to be much worse. They're actually one of conservation success stories.
They're just really cool looking.
Yeah, because at one point there was 14.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah, and so all with the exception of one, are descended from just 14 individuals.
That's crazy. That's yeah. Gonna be super impressive.
And the reason I said except one is because last year, a stallion. I think it was a male. Anyways, they cloned a Przewalski's horse from sample that they had from the San Diego Zoo's frozen zoo.
Yeah, Jurassic Park did.
So, yeah.
Anyway,
he's in Texas right now. Eventually, he's coming over to California, and then the plan is to put him to breeding programs, and he will be the most desirable, important horse in that breeding program.
You don't need to give him an ego, man. Come on.
He needs an ego.
He doesn't
need
an
ego. He needs to make the babies.
Make the babies. But, yeah, they're really cool. And I remember one time they described him at the park, also at the Wild Animal Park, that they described him as, like, if you tried to ride one, they wouldn't mess with just trying to buck you off. They'd just roll over on you.
Yeah.
It's like they're not messing around.
Yeah.
Just do what's effective.
That's one of the things that reason why, because like if you look at history, some people might say, why did we only domesticate horses when we went through Asia? And then why didn't we do it with people in Africa, do it with zebras?
Yeah.
Because zebras are assholes.
Oh, zebras are dicks.
Yes.
Absolute dicks.
It's like, also it's like their structure is nothing like a horse's
bike.
Like
a horse's structure.
It's like there's not a lead stallion that the rest will just follow.
Also,
they have a freaky ducking reflex. So lassoing one, it's like impossible.
Nope.
But yeah, they're mean, man.
Yeah, zebras are really mean. I love that both of us argued so much and were like, we're not going to zebra. I'm like, I don't want to be that basic. Like, when I was a kid, I loved zebras. And they are cool. They are really cool, but
I remember I felt gypped. When I remember there was, I remember learning about extinct, I had this extinct animal book.
Yeah.
And one of the animals in there was a quagga. Okay. It looks like a zebra, except it has the brownish instead of black.
Okay.
Then I learned later on in life that it's just not even really a true subspecies of one of the current species.
Aww.
I was like, I felt gypped. I thought this was so cool. It's like, it's basic.
Oh my gosh. Stop blaming animals. They're still cool.
Yep.
And Casey, speaking of horses, what do you call a horse that lives next door?
A horse that lives your neighbor?
Yay! You got one, Casey!
Oh gosh.
That was an easy one. But yeah. I'm so proud of you. You got one. Your neighbor. Your neighbor's
remind me to tell you a horse joke afterwards.
Oh, no. Okay. But anyway, again, no way to segue other than to say, although you wouldn't want to ride these.
You want to ride them right next thing.
You don't want to ride the next thing either.
You couldn't ride the next thing.
Nope. But it's really cool, and it's something we haven't covered yet. Well, I mean, we'll get to it. Casey, our animal of the week is
a sloth bear.
A sloth bear. They're so cool.
Yes.
Tell us all about them.
So, they guys are from the order Carnivora.
Mm-hmm. We gotta get out of that Carnivora.
We've done so many.
So many Carnivora. We promise in our next month we will try to get out of that a bit.
Yeah. They're from the family Ursidae.
Mm-hmm.
Genus is Mel Ursus. And their species name is Mel Ursus or Sinus?
Mel Ursus or Sinus?
Yes.
Cool.
Honestly, bear species names are very easy.
Yeah, they're way easier than most things. Yeah. Was it a polar? No, a brown bear was Ursus Arctis or something like that?
That's brown bear.
Cool.
Black bear is Ursus Americanus.
Right.
Then polar bear is Ursus Maritimus.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, bears are easy.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo bears.
Yeah, because they're almost all in the same genus. And so these guys are found from India to Sri Lanka, and up north to Bangladesh, Nepal, and Bhutan.
Okay.
Yes. Live mainly in tropical areas, but they prefer living in the dry regions of the forest.
Okay.
And their lifespan in the wild is unknown, but it's probably similar to other bear species and could probably live to be about 20.
Okay.
In captivity, they have been known to live up to 40 years old.
Nice.
But their 30s is a more typical range.
All right.
Yep. They are sexually dimorphic species, with the males being larger than the females. Males are about 80 to 140 kilograms, whereas the females about 55 to 95 kilograms.
Oh, that's definitely a difference.
Yes. Adults are a little less than a meter tall, and about 1.5 to 1.9 meters long.
And I assume it's a meter tall. When all fours, not standing.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be tiny.
So it'd be so cute.
Oh my gosh.
Like, who's that little sloth bear?
Yeah, they're not even the smallest bear species.
Nope.
They are omnivorous like most other bears, but the majority of their diet consists of insects, mainly termites.
Get it. Get it, sloth bears.
We'll also eat fruit and other vegetation, though, when it is available. Oh, yeah. They are the only bear species adapted for myrmecophagy. Do you remember what this is?
Oh, no. I do not.
It's eating ants and termites.
Oh, okay. Allie, remember some things, not all things.
No.
There's a lot of scientific terms, man. You've used a lot.
No, I'm like, you have no idea what.
Oh, I know, but
with
I mean,
the courses I'm taking right now.
I know, but I'm just saying, for a normal person like me.
Next time we're going to do Allie's quiz on systematics.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyways, they have an elongated snout and are able to open and close their nostrils willingly.
That's so crazy.
Yes, it helps to prevent insects
that
and debris
yeah.
from going in their nose. Their mouth acts as a vacuum to suck out the insects, and then they'll lap it up with their long tongue.
They gotta be like an anteater, yes. But in bear form.
Mm-hmm. They have very flat, broad molars, so that shows that they have transitioned away from a more carnivorous diet to one mainly on insects.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. They have weirdly looking claws and paws.
Okay.
Because they're very large and...
Like the claws are.
Yes.
Yeah.
The paws are kind of large too, looking in my opinion. And that allows them to help dig through termite mounds.
They have to be kind of like an anteater and those kind of animals that can dig through that. Yeah.
Yes. And they are primarily nocturnal and have very poor eyesight.
Oh.
And really just mainly rely... on their well-developed sense of smell for finding food.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, their diet of termite makes them important for keeping termite populations under control. And because they also eat some fruits, they are mildly important for the distribution of plant species.
Oh, yeah, okay. They're kind of like pollinators. Sort of, not really.
Not pollinators.
But they're going to disperse
it. Ecosystem engineers.
Engineers.
Which we've talked about a lot.
We have.
Yep. And they're very shy in nature, but possibly the most dangerous animal in all of central India.
Really?
Yes. They are responsible for several attacks and even fatalities.
That's crazy to me. Is it just because they just run into people more than a lot of other animals?
It's because they have very poor eyesight.
Oh, so it's
surprised. And poor hearing, so
yeah.
People can get really close.
Yeah, like, oh.
And then when they finally realize... they'll just go after you. Yep. Good thing not me in India.
Yeah. Just make all the noise in India. You're like, I'm here, bear.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do when you go like hiking.
Hiking all the time.
Like always just make a bunch of noise, which I never do.
No, neither do I.
Thankfully, we only have black bears in California, and not down here.
All kinds of things, yeah. But so I'm like, I'm coming. Don't need me. I have to find that video, and I can't find it. Go away, bear.
I've seen. I know the one you're talking about.
It's so great. Go away, bear.
I've also seen this one where one was going into someone's house, and then and it's like, bad bear,
yelling at a bear.
Oh man. So these guys are listed as vulnerable by the IUCN Red List, and their population is currently in decline. Main threat is, like so many others, is loss of habitat. Mm-hmm. From 1956 to 1983, 1.85 million hectares of forest was lost in Sri Lanka.
What is that, like, in acres?
Let's see. I believe it's somewhere around 4 to 5 acres. I'm looking up that conversion now.
Okay, great. Anyway, it's a lot of land.
Yes.
That was lost to agriculture. Sorry, was it agriculture or just in general to human development?
Oh, I was off. It was 1 hectare is about 2.5 acres.
Okay, so that's a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a lot of it's due to agriculture. And what's really bad about the case in Sri Lanka is there's a subspecies over there, the Sri Lankan sloth bear. And this one is especially at risk due to the fact it's an isolated population because mm-hmm. it's on Sri Lanka.
Makes sense. Yes.
Yep. They are also killed for harvesting their gallbladders and fat to be used in traditional medicine.
Oh my gosh, stop. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's also some weird indirect threats that you might not think of.
Oh.
Because termite mounds are their main source of food. Mm-hmm. And those are often destroyed by people.
Oh.
Want to take a guess as to why?
Why the people destroy the termite mounds?
Yes.
Because they don't want termites by their houses. Why, Casey? I'm afraid.
It's for harvesting the soil for tennis courts.
Oh my gosh. Why? Why are you gonna have termite soil?
It's really good soil for building stuff.
Screw tennis courts.
Yeah, and they are listed under Appendix 1 by CITES, so they have the highest regulation in terms of international trade.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't be bringing a bear home. Let's just be real.
You know, you shouldn't be, but I remember one of the shows I used to watch all the time on Animal Planet was Fatal Attractions.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like when people had like bears, tigers, a bunch of exotics.
Pythons that eat them. Yeah. Those kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, yep. That's our first bear that we've actually done as an animal of the week.
Yes, it is.
And I think they're really
it's
cute.
It's the weirdest one of them.
It kind of is. Yeah. But they're really cute. I mean, yep. I think they're cute. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of things are cute. But yeah, we have kind of a weird mixed bag of animals today.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
It's still not as weird as last time, though.
No, because Casey, I'm not letting you do weird things because weird is always terrifying.
Weird is awesome.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to make you choose fluffy, cute things. Anyway, all right. So, it's your turn for the challenge this week, and I have no idea what he's prepared. Oh, no, it's in a folder. That can't be good. Is that the map of your school campus?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's completely useless.
Yeah, because you're never going to be there for one semester.
No, even when I was there. I was there for 2 quarters.
Is it outdated?
This?
Yeah.
No, it's useless because I can't, I'm just a dope when it comes to maps.
Oh, good. You'll die quickly.
It's like, it's a good thing, like, I only had a few classes. That's what sucks, though, is I never went into the biology department.
Oh, that sucks.
I was in physics and chemistry buildings most often. It's like, I'm neither a physicist nor a chemist.
Yeah.
Yet I know these the best. But I went through the biology department building once, and it's cool because we have a lot of preserved specimens and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I will probably never get to see it.
So sad, dude.
Yeah, and I'm going to be stealing your writing implement.
You're like sneaking under the COVID screen.
Okay, so.
Contamination, Casey, contamination. Oh,
yeah. Yes, we are quarantined for 14 days.
Well, I mean, I've already had it, and I will soon have a vaccine. Although the vaccine takes a while. You have to get 2 doses, and then it's like 9 days after your
second dose. When are you supposed to get your second dose?
21 or 28 days after your first.
Mm.
Yeah, so like February, I'll be good. like mid-February at least.
So anyway, let's
do it.
I decided I will test your knowledge on stuff you probably would have no prior knowledge on in relation to Asia.
No, Casey, we already found out we know nothing about Asian animals.
Too bad.
Bengal tiger.
So anyway.
Yes.
I have 11 questions, some bonuses.
Okay.
And so here's how scoring will work. If you get 90 or above, mm-hmm. you're the queen of Asia.
Oh, yay. I've never been the queen of anything, so.
Yes. 80 to 89, you're a tiger.
Yes. I'm going for that.
70 to 79, you're a hunting monkey. And any less than that, you are a trafficked pangolin.
Casey. I'm going to be a trafficked pangolin because I don't know Asia. I'm going to be a tiger. All right.
All right, and I will give you 3 minutes.
Okay, I'm focused.
All right, and first question is, how many big cats are in Asia?
I hate you. I'm gonna say three. Is it two?
No.
It's not three either? Oh.
You have one more shot.
Oh, is it four?
Yes.
Oh, because it's snow leopards.
Yes. Bonus, name all the species.
Lion, because it's in India. Mm-hmm. And a tiger. Mm-hmm. And a leopard and a snow leopard.
Yes.
Yay!
True or false, the Sumatran tiger is the most endangered big cat in Asia.
Where's the other one? I'm going to say false.
That is correct. Bonus, which species is?
Shit. I don't know if it's the Amur leopard?
Yes, it is.
Yay!
What is the largest cat in Asia? Specific to subspecies.
Which one is the biggest? Oh my god, I should know that. I feel like it's either I've completely forgotten one of their names. I feel like it's either the Bengal or the Siberian.
Commit to one.
I'm gonna say Siberian. It's gonna be wrong.
That is correct.
Yay!
What is the smallest cat in Asia?
Oh shit. That's not a big cat? Like an actual small cat?
Yes.
Something cute. All sorts of South America. I don't know.
You can pass if you want.
I'm gonna say a clouded leopard. I don't know. That's not the smallest.
No.
I'm passing. Okay.
What is the most trafficked animal in Asia?
I was about to say a pangolin. Maybe it is, because they also have Asian pangolins. I'll say a pangolin.
You're correct.
Okay.
How many subspecies of tiger are there?
Oh, God. Okay. The one I already said, Siberian.
You don't need a name. I'll just give me the number.
I'm just trying to think of it. And Sumatran. In Asia? Only in Asia, though. Well, they're only in Asia. That was a dumb question. Oh, shit. I'm going to say six?
That is correct.
Yes.
Bonus, name all subspecies.
Oh, come on. Okay, Siberian, Bengal. There's an Amur tiger.
Amur is the same as Siberian.
Oh, okay. My bad. Sumatran. Oh no. Javan one, isn't that one extinct?
Yeah. You can always pass.
I pass because I don't know.
True or false, world's largest amphibian is in Asia.
We'll say true because I have no idea.
It's correct.
Yeah.
Name the species.
Is it the Chinese giant salamander?
Yes! What Asian animal is the icon of World Wildlife Fund?
The giant panda.
Yes. How many bear species are in Asia?
Oh, man. Sloth bear. Aren't there big scary ones in Russia? They're scary. Isn't it like a Kodiak or some shit in Russia? I'll say three.
No.
Damn.
How many equine species are in Asia?
Oh, no, man. I do not know this at all. I'm going to say two.
No.
Okay.
All right.
How'd I do?
Let's see.
I feel like I did okay.
You did pretty good, surprisingly.
I don't think. Rude. It was tiger questions, that's why. Malaysian tiger. It's a Malaysian tiger, isn't it?
Okay.
Here we go.
You got 100.
Am I queen?
Yes, you're the queen.
Yay! How many points for total? Possible?
Well, not including the bonuses, I made it 100.
Yay! So my bonus got me one. Did I even get a bonus?
You got
it. I don't know. Let's go through the questions. Yeah. It's fun.
So let's see. First question you passed was, what is the smallest cat in Asia?
Oh.
Answer is rusty spotted cat.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's also the world's smallest cat.
Okay.
Let's see. Then you pass on, name all subspecies of tiger. There's the Amur.
Yeah.
The Bengal, Sumatran, South China, Indo-Chinese, and Malayan.
Okay.
I would have been very surprised because South China is extinct in the wild.
No, but not gotten it.
Yeah. Let's see. There are 5 bear species in Asia.
Okay.
And the 5 are the brown,
okay,
the Asiatic black, giant panda, sloth, and sun bear.
I literally wasn't even thinking about a panda as being a bear. How sad. Okay.
Yeah. And there's 3 equine species in Asia.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah.
What are they?
There is the Przewalski's horse. And then there's 2 wild asses.
Oh, there's 2 wild asses. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
It's
I feel like there were more questions than that, but I guess I got them right, so it doesn't matter.
Then the last one was, name all the rhino species in Asia.
Javan. Isn't that one?
Yes.
Indian rhino, because that's in Asia. Don't know the rest.
Last one, Sumatran.
Oh, damn, I would have gotten that. I just second-guessed myself and thought that wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was all of them.
I did pretty good, Casey.
Yes, you did.
I'm a queen. Queen Tigress. Anyway, that was so exciting. Because it's mostly cats.
Yes.
That's a lie. Otherwise, I'd be dead. And I would not have known the salamander if...
I was surprised that you remembered that one.
The salamander? I was a shot in the dark, and I only knew it because, folks, if you go to Patreon, you get to choose a listener's choice, and a giant salamander, the Chinese giant salamander, is one of the options for the poll. So if you want to hear about that one, become a member at Patreon. And
I can't remember what's all listed.
Choose that. I don't even know. There were other things that were cool. I don't know why I'm doing like a shoulder dance right now. I'm like, that's cool. This is cool. Anyway, we should wrap that up. We still have 2 more.
Yes.
So we have still have 2 more animals. So
next one's going to be the poll.
So yeah, if you want that giant salamander or one of the other animals, they're also very cool. One's a king cobra. Remember that.
I have a funny story to say about king cobras.
Basic, but okay. Why is it funny?
It's funny because of me.
Okay. Oh, I remember that.
You remember.
We'll share that next time. Just remember that. Put a pin in that one. Yeah, I remember that story. Go with all your bio friends and do that. They just laugh at you. It's okay. I've also misplaced a Shakespeare character in the wrong Shakespeare show.
So oh, my gosh.
Fine. I'm like, from this one. I'm like, idiot. He's not in that show. Anyway. As always. But yeah, sorry. Before I move on, join Patreon. You can choose our animal for next week. The poll's up there now. Well, it's been up there for a while, actually. And, and then we have our last one. I'm trying to remember who our last one is, but it's something cool.
Last one was...
No, not the one from last... I mean, the last one of the month. But they're all cool. I liked all of our animals this week, or this month. Oh. Anyway. But thank you for joining us for the 24th.
Yes, 24th.
Thank you for joining us for the 24th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on episode 25.
It'll be my age.
We can rent a car. Our podcast
I can
rent a car. Woohoo! And they'll be half a century old.
No, they won't.
In numbers, not years.
No!
Not half, a quarter.
A quarter.
Try again.
I'm a quarter century.
I'm out of it, people. I'm tired. Anyway, you have a great week. You have a great week, and you take care of you, okay? We're gonna catch you all on the flip side next week for Listener's Choice. Bye-bye!